the supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this program, this episode of today's special. Please accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Kazim, Shia's seventh Imam. Today, Tuesday, is 25th of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Isfand, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, we offer our condolences On the martyrdom anniversary of Shia's seventh Imam, Imam Kazim alayhi salam. The shrine of Imam Kazim and Imam Javad, peace be upon them. Anyone approaching Baghdad from the north or the west will be impressed by the sight of the golden minarets of Kazimain, the shrine of the two Imams, Imam Musa al-Kazim and Imam Muhammad Taqi al-Javad, peace be upon them. They are respectively the seventh and the ninth Imams, at whose tombs we are accustomed to seek healing and to invoke their intercession for the forgiveness of our sins and the fulfillment of our needs. When you wish to visit tomb of Musa ibn Ja'far and the tomb of Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Musa, first you must bathe and make yourself clean. Then anoint yourself with perfume and put on clean garment, after which you are to say at the tomb of the Imam Musa, "Peace be upon thee, O friend of God. Peace be upon thee, O proof of God. Peace be upon thee, O light of God, O light in the dark place of the earth. Peace be upon him whom God advances in thy regard. Behold, I come as a pilgrim who acknowledges your right, who hates your enemies and befriends your friends. So intercede for me, therefore, with your Lord." Then you should offer prayer in salutation to the Imams. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Shia Muslims all over the world, please accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astaheen. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the martyrdom anniversary of the seventh infallible Imam, Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam. Initially, it must be indicated that in the time of the seventh infallible Imam, Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam, the political situation, the dominant political situation was such that newly emerging political dynasty, the Abbasids, made the whole situation very hard for the Ahl al-Bayt. The seventh infallible Imam, Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam, lived in such an era. At this time, the Abbasid caliph, the Abbasid ruler Mansur, made the whole situation in such a way that anybody who had been indicated as the successor to Imam, the seventh infallible Imam, Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam, the person would certainly be assassinated, would be caught and killed, because Al-Mansur, as the Abbasid ruler, intended to put an end to the line of imamate. Then Al-Mansur indicated it in a letter to the governor of Medina, if sixth infallible Imam, Ja'far ibn Muhammad, Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, had indicated anybody, you have to kill that person. Then Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in a letter, indicated three persons as his successors. One, Mansur al-Dawaniqi, the Abbasid ruling caliphate, Abdullah ibn Ja'far, Abdullah, the elder son, his elder son, and Musa ibn Ja'far. When Al-Mansur received this letter, I mean, God had access to this letter, he became very furious and said that no, it's impossible. None of these three persons who will be killed can be killed, because one of them, the first one, was Al-Mansur himself, Mansur al-Dawaniqi. The seventh infallible Imam, Musa ibn Ja'far, salamullah alayhi, has received the title Kalim. Kalim means the person who swallows his anger. This is because Imam Musa ibn Ja'far salamullah alayhi was really very, very considerate of the moral attitudes and moral teachings, and he was, as the infallible Imam, he was really very careful in order not to insult anybody. Even those people who insulted him, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far salamullah alayhi was very considerate in not going to the extreme in opposition, in retaliation. Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, in the time of the Abbasid rulers, spent, according to one record, around 7 years, and according to another record, around 14 years in the jails in Baghdad. I mean, Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam was living in Medina. However, he was taken to Baghdad and he was imprisoned over there. We find that there are many hadiths left from Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam. And in Shiite Islam, we understand that Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam has given very important teachings to his close companions. And not only his words, but also his conduct and his practices in his life, all of them make a good pack of instructions for us, not only for us as Muslims, but for all people and for humanity. Thank you.
The Shia are screaming, crying that their Imam is dead, and the skies are testifying that holy blood was shed. The Shia are screaming, crying that their Imam is dead, and the skies are testifying that holy blood was shed over his body. They cry, can't you see? They cry, can't you see? Over his body. They cry, can't you see? They cry, can't you see? Over his body.
Fadak in the view of Imam Musa al-Kazim, peace be upon him. Fadak remained the symbol of the lost justice according to Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. Harun al-Rashid, the caliph, kept pressing Musa ibn Ja'far to take Fadak back, and he kept refusing. When Harun insisted that he should, the imam said, "I should not take it back except in its boundaries." Harun asked him, "And what are its boundaries?" The imam said, "The first is Aden, the temporary capital of Yemen." Al-Rashid's face changed color and asked, "And what is the second boundary?" He said, "Samarkand, a city in Uzbekistan." Now his face started shaking in outrage. He asked, "And what is the third boundary?" He said, "Africa." And the caliph's face now turned black. Yet he asked, "And what is the fourth boundary?" He said, "The ocean and whatever is beyond the Caspian Sea and Armenia." Harun then said, "There is nothing left for us, so come and take my throne." The Imam alayhi salam said, "I had told you before that if I defined its boundaries, you would refuse to give it back to me." From this dialogue, we can comprehend the vast dimension of the significance of Fadak, and that it did not represent simply a piece of land, but a big objective whose significance was linked to the significance of the message itself in its connotation and depth. Dear brothers and sisters, today is anniversary of martyrdom of Imam Kazim alayhi salam, we offer our condolences to all Muslim brothers and sisters.
Ya Musa ibn Ja'far, Ya Bab al-Hawaij, Ya Musa ibn Ja'far, Ya Bab al-Hawaij, Ya Musa ibn Ja'far, Ya Bab al-Hawaij, Ya Musa ibn Ja'far, Ya Bab al-Hawaij.
You're listening to today's special and now Imam Kazim's advice for Hisham ibn Hakam. O Hisham, everything has its evidence. The evidence of being intelligent is pondering, and the evidence on pondering is silence. O Hisham, if people tell that you have a pearl in your hand while you are sure it is a knot, not pearl, this should not advantage you. If people tell that you have a knot in the hand while you are sure it is a pearl, not knot, this also should not harm you. O Hisham, for every servant of Allah, there is an angel invested with full power over him. Whenever that servant shows modesty for the sake of Allah, the angel will elevate him, and whenever he shows arrogance, the angel will humiliate him. O Hisham, Allah has two arguments against people. One is explicit and the other is implicit. The explicit arguments of Allah are the messengers, prophets, and the imams. And the implicit arguments are the minds.
Allahumma salli ala al-amin al-mu'tamar, Musa ibn Ja'far. البر الوفي الطاهر الزكي.
They took the body of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam, gharib, alone, in Baghdad. They put his body on the bridge known as the Bridge of Baghdad for 3 days. The Shia were too scared to go and bury the body of their Imam. Just like his grandfather, gharib Karbala, he also stayed there for 3 days. He stayed on the bridge of Baghdad for 3 days. And the Shia would go pass in a subtle way by the bridge. They look at their Imam and they weep in aza. They weep in grief until they went and they told the uncle of Harun al-Rashid. They told his uncle, it looks really bad that you leave Musa ibn Ja'far on the bridge of Baghdad for so long. Do something. So his uncle, the uncle of Harun, says, okay, let's go bury him. And that's why then Harun pretended that, my gosh, Musa has been killed. So he takes off his imamah and he comes and walks in the procession of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam. Now, because the uncle of Harun, Abbasi, is taking care of the ghusl and the kafan, the Shia now walk with him. So there is the procession of Imam al-Kazim salamullahi alayhi. But one of the Shia says, I saw something strange, a wonder. I saw that the one who was doing the ghusl and the kafan was Ali ibn Musa. I saw the Imam with my own eyes. People were doing the ghusl, but they were not doing the ghusl. They thought they were doing the ghusl. The one who was doing the ghusl was his son, Ali ibn Musa. The one who did the kafan was Ali ibn Musa. The one who prayed the salat was Ali ibn Musa. The one who buried was Ali ibn Musa. Salamullahi alayhi. And he was buried, gharib, alone in Baghdad, where he is today, next to his grandson, al-Imam al-Jawad, salamullahi alayhi, who is also the gharib of Baghdad.
Ya Aba al-Hasan, ya Musa ibn Ja'far, ayyuha al-Kazim, يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه.
Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we offer our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Shia seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kazim, peace be upon him. We leave you in the care and protection of Almighty Allah till another episode of today's special. Wassalamu alaikum.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and condolences to you all on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Musa al-Kazim, peace be upon him, the seventh infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. We now present you a short but sweet statement from Imam Musa al-Kazim, peace be upon him. The best kind of almsgiving is to help the weak.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. First and foremost, we send our condolences to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman, on this being the day that is reported to be the demise of his grandfather Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, the seventh holy Imam, the Bab al-Hawa'ij, the gate of, you know, requests and needs. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of this very same Imam, that is Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, that we have the ability and we are given the opportunity and the blessing of visiting this Imam alayhi salam in the holy city of Kaldhamain or Kaldhamiyya, hopefully inshallah in the very near future, in safety, in tranquility, with peace of mind inshallah. As we have been discussing the tradition of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam over the last few episodes, or nearly an entire month, we will continue with a section of this tradition that is the 28th section of this tradition. It is a very lengthy section of this tradition, so we'll just mention a part of it inshallah and ask our dear listeners to follow up inshallah. So in this section of the tradition, the Imam says that, "Oh Hisham, the commander of the faithful alayhi salam, used to say, God is not worshipped through any act better than intellection. No person's intellect attains strength until several traits are found in him." Again, the relationship between action, intellect, and our own souls. "Unbelief and evil are not feared from him. Right guidance and goodness are expected from him. His excess money is given in charity. His excess words are withheld. His share of the temporal world is bare subsistence. That means that he's, you know, just sufficient and he's content with the little that he has, or he's content with whatever he has. He never fills of knowledge for as long as he lives. That is, he knows that he does not know, and he continues learning. Worldly humiliation is more beloved to him if God is pleased with him than worldly honor if others are pleased with him, but God is displeased with him. Humility is more beloved to him than flaunting worldly esteem. He deems the few good deeds of others to be great and deems his own many good deeds to be nothing. He believes in his heart that all people are better than he is and that he is the worst of them. This is the last of the list of traits." What a beautiful list. Every single one of these traits that the Imam mentions. Alhamdulillah, we got through the whole section as well. But these traits, if we had to really dwell into them and say, are we of these or not? Are people, you know, safe from us or not? And so on and so forth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inculcate these traits in us, inshallah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more. If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me, proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws. If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. ديني الإسلام ديني والعظم غير ديني محمد اللي هديني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jalad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Today, we're going to be delving into the Islamic laws about the ladies according to Ayatollah Sistani. Before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzuma Sabzawari and Sharh Ishraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazvini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in Fiqh and Usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Sheikh Javid, we are talking about some of the Islamic laws related to the ladies, according to Ayatollah Sistani. Would you shed some light on this question that the menstruating women, as you said in one of the earlier episodes, according to Ayatollah Sistani, is permissible to read the Quran? But I'm going to ask you about the du'as, because some women think that when they are in their menses, they cannot read the Quran, well, or they cannot read the du'as.
Yeah.
Would you please answer this question?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Obviously, a woman who is in a state of haiz can even read the Quran also, let alone du'as.
Yes,
because the Quran is more sacred. It is the most, the holiest book.
Yes,
among Muslims. Now, when it comes to du'as, of course, a woman who is menstruating and who has got her period can read any kind of du'as, but she must make sure that the du'as are full of names, divine attributes, names of Allah and names of the Prophet and names of
the holy imams. Therefore, she should not touch the script in order to avoid touching the names. Okay, and touching the names deliberately and intentionally is forbidden. Okay, if a woman happens to touch the names by accident and without noticing, she's not guilty. There's nothing. She's not to blame, of course. And of course, there are different du'as Muslims read, and these are du'as like, for example, du'a Kumal, Ziyarat Ashura, and of course, du'as Sahif Sajadiyah is full of du'as. Okay, Mafatih al-Jinan. There are different types of du'as. All of these du'as can be read by a ministrating woman.
Yes.
And for example, there are sajdas also in these du'as. These sajdas are recommended. The woman can avoid doing this sajda. And if she does the sajda, again, there's no problem because the sajda, which is, for example, in Ziyarat Ashura, there is a sajda, okay? There's a prostration.
Yes.
That sajda can be performed because ritual purity is not a condition. It's not necessary for a woman to be in a state of ritual purity to be in tahara, in wudu, while performing that sajda.
Yeah, that prostration is nothing to do with the prostration which is performed in or within a prayer.
Prayer, yes.
All right. And what about the shrine of the prophets, imams, and even saints? Can a menstruating woman enter those places, those holy places, like the shrine of an imam?
Yes. This is a very important question, because recently women who come from different countries to Iran, for example, or they go to Iraq,
yes,
and they visit the holy shrines. And of course, 50% of those people who go to the holy cities are women.
Yes.
Okay, and these women, some of them might be in the state of haiz, so they want to know whether they can enter the shrine or not. Of course, when it comes to entering the shrine, they can enter the courtyards. They can enter the courtyards, and they can go and walk through the porches and the corridors, but it is not permissible as an obligatory precaution for women to enter that room in which there is the chamber, okay? The chamber. So that means a woman cannot enter that room within which is the chamber, the zarih of the imam, for example. So, because if she enters there, she will have to pass there, she will have to stay there, or she will have to cling to the chamber and stay there. That's not permissible according to Ayatollah Sistani. She can sit in the courtyards outside the chamber, outside the room in which the chamber is, provided that the courtyard is not a part of the mosque, because sitting in a mosque is not permissible. Of course, like if you go to Mashhad, you can see the holy shrine of Imam Reza alayhi salatu wasalam has many courtyards, and these courtyards have different names. Some of them are not included in they are not considered to be mosques, so women can sit in those courtyards. But that courtyard which is considered to be a part of the mosque, yes, it's not permissible for women to enter that courtyard or to sit there. Of course, entering is permissible, and going out is permissible, but staying, pausing, and leaving something there is not permissible because it's a mosque.
Yes.
Okay.
By mosque, you mean that a place of worship where the mosque formula has been performed.
Yes, that
right?
is it. Yes, because of course every. The entire
place of worship is not a mosque.
Yes, every place of worship is not a mosque, okay? Like, for example, Husayniyas, Imam Bargas, these are not mosques. Of course, people, thousands of people offer their prayers in these places also.
Yes, exactly.
But it's not treated as mosque.
Yes. Some organizations, some institutions
sure.
have, you know, specify some places
like
to worship.
Like the prayer room.
Like the prayer room,
prayer
like
room.
Chapel.
It's
you know?
Not, yeah, it's
yes.
not mosque.
Exactly.
Yeah. The Quran is there, you see, dua books are there. It does not suggest that this room is now a mosque.
But what about the, you know, shrines of the prophets? Not the holy prophet of Islam. I'm talking about the prophets before the Islam prophet, you know, the prophet of Islam.
Ayatollah Sistani's fatwa is general, okay? Of course, the prophets are also as holy as the imams, and of course, if there are any shrines, and of course, I there are very few shrines could be there, but they do not have, they are not as extended or extensive as the shrines of, let's say, Imam Riza or the shrines of Karbala. You can see. The Ayatollah Sistani does not specify that a specific imam or specific. He says the shrines of the infallibles. Okay, the infallibles. So all the prophets, according to the Shia teaching, all the prophets are infallible.
Yes,
okay?
True.
So therefore, to enter that specific room in which the chamber lies is not permissible for ladies. Mm-hmm. For ladies. And they cannot. But they can walk around and the courtyard if there is any.
But what about the saints, like sons and children, grandchildren of the imams?
These rules do not apply to the saints.
Because
they are
not infallible.
Others. Yes, they are not infallible.
Yes, unless their shrines are connected to a mosque
to
or
a
something
mosque.
Like that.
There's something else.
The office of Ayatollah Sistani is currently providing the following services. 1. Board of Istifta, replying to religious questions. 2. Helping the poor, needy, homeless, and those who have suffered losses by earthquakes and floods. 3. Sending books for people who want to understand and learn Islam. 4. Hajj delegation. 5. Sending preachers. Board of Istifta is a link between Ayatollah Sistani and people. It provides them with answers to questions pertaining to religious, ideological, social and educational matters in accordance with the verdicts and rulings of Ayatollah Sistani. For more information, visit the website of Ayatollah Sistani at www.sistani.org. You can also ask your questions through the following email, english@sistani.org.
You know, Sheikh Javid, some menstruating women, in fact, like to apply some colors, some henna, for example,
yes,
to their fingernails, to their palms of the hand, you know. And but by the time their menstruation is gone, the henna still remains there, all right,
yes,
on their fingers or the palms.
Yeah.
Doesn't it affect their prayer?
That's a good question. Well, the henna, first of all, many women are concerned and they wonder whether it is permissible in the first place to apply henna while a woman is in her monthly discharge or in her monthly period. Of course, when it comes to the permissibility of applying henna to the hands and to the fingers and toes, it is permissible. But when it comes to whether the henna affects the prayers or not, because the henna was applied when the woman was in her monthly period, whether it affects the prayers which a woman is going to offer after she gets pure from the monthly blood, of course, Ayatollah Sistani is of the view that it does not affect the prayers. Because henna is not impure. The dye or the color which remains on the finger does not affect the prayer. Of course, let me use the special term which Shia Muslims in the Indian subcontinent use. They use the term mendi. Okay, mendi is another word for henna. We Muslims in Iran or in Arab countries, they usually use the term henna, but Shia Muslims living in the Indian subcontinent, they use the term mendi, and mendi is very popular in the Indian subcontinent. You can see ladies using henna, even the mendi. So mehndi is not going to affect the prayer, and there is no objection to ladies using mehndi.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri wa salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to Sheikh Hamza Sodagar.
We hope that we have the opportunity, the blessing, to visit Imam al-Kadhim in the area of Kadhimiyah of Baghdad in Iraq, inshallah, sooner rather than later. That's beautiful and spiritual shrine of two imams, Imam al-Kadhim and Imam al-Jawad. I was reading hadith before the session. There's a number of hadith. The imams being asked, imams after Imam al-Kadhim, Imam al-Ridha particularly, a number of them, being asked about visiting Imam al-Kadhim, salamullahi alayh, and Imam al-Ridha said, in some hadith, he said with emphasis that visiting him is just like visiting Imam al-Husayn. And in a couple of other hadiths, he mentioned that visiting Imam al-Kadhim is like visiting the Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhima wa ala alihima. We ask him, Imam al-Kadhim, salamullahi alayhi, he's Bab al-Hawa'ij. A lot of people know Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas as Bab al-Hawa'ij, and he is. But the greater Bab al-Hawa'ij is Imam al-Kadhim, salamullahi alayhi. And the Hawa'ij that we have of Allah, the needs, that's what a hajah means, a need. The needs that we have more than anything are our spiritual needs, the need of the Ahlul Bayt themselves. If we're able to understand that we don't need food, material food from the Ahlul Bayt, we don't need cars from the Ahlul Bayt, we don't need material health from the Ahlul Bayt, all those are given, and when we need them we should ask, but those aren't the main things we need. To realize that we need the Ahlul Bayt themselves. Okay. To be able to have Imam al-Kadhim accept us as someone that can be close to him. That he draws us closer to himself. This is a need that we have. This is a need that we should be willing to give up things. In some of the ahadith, regarding the ziyarah of Imam al-Kadhim, it was showing, and we were reminded of the conditions of the time. After his martyrdom, they imprisoned him because of his influence and because of him fighting the system, the establishment, before Harun, known as al-Rashid, which he is not. And during his time, they imprisoned him, tortured him, and killed him. Yet the influence of Imam al-Kadhim grew after his martyrdom. Visiting the grave of Imam al-Kadhim was difficult. In some of the ahadith, the questions that were being asked, some of them had that. It's difficult. Should we not? The imams encouraged. And then in some of them, the imams, the conditions were so difficult. The imams told their followers, go there. But because of the conditions, don't go close to the grave. In order to visit Imam al-Kadhim, there are masajid, there are mosques around the grave, around where the cemetery is. Go and pray in those mosques while you're in the masjid. Give your salams to Imam al-Kadhim when no one realizes that you're doing so. These are the conditions. People had to sacrifice to be at the grave site of Imam al-Kadhim. If a person understands who Imam al-Kadhim is, their want to be with even the grave, to get closer to him, is such that you would want to sacrifice, not go there to get these material things, sacrifice these things to get there. This is what we really need. In Ziyarat Ashura, one of the lines that's repeated and we are told to want, and hopefully it penetrates our hearts and minds, we get this, we actually want it from the bottom of our hearts, is to want to be with the imam, with the imams. This line is repeated a couple times at least, if I remember. أَن يَجْعَلَنِي مَعَكُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Want to be with the imams in the dunya and the akhirah. صلى الله عليك يا باب الحوائج صلى الله على روحي فداك يا مولا لعنة الله على أعدائكم. I don't know what that last prison was like. Some have described it was a tiny cell, levels beneath the surface of the earth, and the damp environment of Baghdad. I don't know if you know what I'm speaking of. It gets cold, it gets to your bones, with nothing to cover. It was like a hole such that he couldn't even lay right and extend his legs even. Covered with barely any space to breathe. Ya Mawla, they brought the body of the Imam out of the prison. Word had got out, Imam al-Kadhim had passed on. The Shia were waiting outside the prison to receive the body, to bury it. They say many people had come. It was a huge gathering. The body came on a wooden board. People were looking. All they could see were chains. The body of the Imam had gone and grown so weak. He was nothing but skin and bones. All the chains were yours more visible than his body. It was brought out. The Shia received the body. It was taken to the cemetery. A prayer shrouding the ceremony was a grand ceremony with a lot of participants. Ya Imam al-Kadhim, ruhi fidak. You were gharib. When you were in prison, no one was there to support you, to help you. They treated you as they wished. But Ya Imam al-Kadhim, at least when you passed on, your body was respected, your funeral was one attended by many, your burial, Ya la yawmka yawmka ya Aba Abdillah. Your grandfather was not only gharib before he passed, beheading him was not enough. They had horses trample over the body of Imam al-Hazim. They left your grandfather's body under the sun for 3 days. Imam Zain al-Abidin came in a lonely setting with a few people and performed the burial. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون
اللهم صل على الأمين المؤتمن موسى بن جعفر اللهم صل على الأمين المؤتمن موسى بن جعفر البر الوفي الطاهر الزكي النور المبين ربي فصل عليه ربي فصل عليه أفضل وأكمل ما صليت على أحد من من أطاعك إنك غفور رحيم.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.